It is truly a gift and a pleasure to be here with you this morning, to enjoy the good things that the Lord is doing and to celebrate that. I hear many of your testimonies even throughout the week as to the things that the Lord is doing in your lives. And my anticipation is just growing for the things that He will do in my life as well and in this church, in this body. For the last several times that I've had opportunity to minister, most of you that have been here, you know already what the message has been. I've been talking to you about the fact that God speaks and that God is speaking. And what I simply mean by that, and I'm not going to re-preach the sermon, I just want to get your thoughts and your hearts caught up quickly. And that is, when God speaks, His word does not return void. It continues to do its purpose and its will, and it echoes through all generations until it accomplishes everything that it was set out to do. What I'm saying to you is sometimes we have taken God and made Him so small, we've made Him so little, but the God who is described in this beautiful book is so amazing, and I call Him often genius. He is so genius in the way that He works in human lives and human experience. The problem that's happened in many of our lives is we don't embrace who He is and the fullness of who He is. We don't listen with our spirits and hear what God is speaking to the nations. You know, the church should be the people who have the clearest hearing when it comes to God. Did you know that there should never be a Christian who is confused about what God is speaking into your life? I know that there's those times. I know that there are those times when we feel like we're in the wilderness and we're saying, oh God, I feel like You're absent or I can't hear Your voice. But that's where faith is so powerful, because I remember that He has spoken, and I wait diligently until that peace comes to my soul. That's what I'm saying to you, that God has never failed me. Is there anybody in this place that you absolutely, with all your heart, you trusted the Lord, and you can stand up and say, He failed me. He failed me. I did everything that I could to serve Him, and He failed me. There is not one person. If you were to stand up and say that God failed you, it's because you did not abandon yourself to Him. A simple title for this morning's sermon: I hear, I obey, I live. I hear, I obey, I live. It's the way it works. It's the way it happens. There's so many that want the end of the story. There's so many that just want to live. And we're begging God, please, I need to find life. I need to find it more abundantly. But we don't lend our ears, our spiritual ears, to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And then, folks, when we do hear, we don't walk in that glorious, glorious obedience. I told you that God is speaking. God is speaking. His word is already powerful. It's already echoing. It's already moving. His word sustains all things. Christ said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He is the one who is powerful. Some of you find yourself getting a little disheartened by the process that we see in terms of politics and all the things that are going on. I hear Christian men and women saying, oh, if this guy is in for president, oh, we're in trouble. Or if this one, I see recovery coming. Folks, if God doesn't breathe and God doesn't speak, we're done. We're done. If God doesn't bless this nation, we're done. If God's voice is continued to allow to be part of the nation, then we will find ourselves in life. If this nation will lend its ear to a speaking God and walk in obedience to His ways, we will live, not only as an individual, but also as a family. Not only as a family, but also as a church community. Not only as a church community, but as a nation, we will live. It has nothing to do with the one who is in the White House. But the sad component is the one who is in the White House is often reflective of the people themselves. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He's speaking. He's speaking. And those who hear him will live in faith. Yes? Did you know that the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God? It's impossible to please God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You'll see up on the screen it says 2 Timothy 2:14, 2:14 through 3:9. I'm only going to pick out just certain verses. You can go back later and just read all the content, but I want to just give you a sense of responsibility that you and I have in our Christianity. Second Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Okay, there's a sermon unto itself. Do you stand approved before God? If you simply can stop right now and look up to heaven, can you say these words, God, I am okay with you? The beautiful thing about the church is I don't have to convince you one way or the other. I don't have to. Every one of us know exactly where we stand. The Holy Spirit is that much of a beautiful witness to those who believe and to those who refuse. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Flip, if you will, to verse 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord will turn away from wickedness. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedience to their parents. I'll read the rest of this verse in a minute, but let me tell you a quick story. Aiden is in football in North Branch. So I take him to practice, and I just take a lawn chair out and sit and kind of watch these little squeaks practice football. Kind of fun to do. This one particular time, I seen this a black man who was sitting all by himself in this lawn chair beside his car, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to go over and hang with them. So I went down and sat with him. And the first, you guys know, I tell you this all the time. I don't tell people what I do for a living, and I don't identify myself. I just sit down and chit-chat with them. It's so much fun. And we found that we have an iPhone in common. We found that we have sports in common. So guess what we talked about? iPhones and sports, you know. And so he's telling me about, he says, I only have two apps, but one of them, he said, I like to drink. And he says, so I've got this app on here I shake it, and it mixes me up a drink formula. You know how tempting it is. Hi, I'm Pastor Dan. I just want you to know. But no, we talked about that kind of stuff. But one thing that stood out so powerfully to me, he's an Alabama boy, And you know, in Alabama, they worship football from the time they're in the cradle, okay? So he's talking football, he's talking all these things, does not profess to know Christ at all at any level, didn't have a father, life was in disarray, strong mother presence, all of this. And then this man said this to me. He started talking about this little boy that they brought that was, and he started talking about an experience that he had with them where this little boy disrespected his mother. And he said, I could not believe the level of disrespect that I see in the state of Michigan. He said, I've never seen anything like it. He said, where I'm from, it's yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I'm sitting there thinking, here's a man that understands biblical principle. And the kingdom is revealed in his heart, even when he's in the middle of his own chaos. He understands the truth. But I say all that to tell you, the Bible says that in the last days, mark this, people will be disobedient to their parents. It's a spirit of a culture. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Listen, we read it all the time. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. And I got to tell you, I do not take myself off the platform and say, God, this does not include me. I find myself saying, search me, O God, like David did. Search me, O God. Search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Am I authentic in my faith towards you, Lord? Is it real? Is my faith real? And the way I can answer that is the power that it has within my life. I have a lot of different points I can make over the next several weeks on this subject. I'm going to narrow it down to three challenges this morning. If we profess to have religion, let us be careful that it is, in fact, authentic. Let's make sure that our faith is real. What is the substance of your religion? Have you sought it out with a sense of fear before a holy God? Have you really looked for God to be revealed through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? The time in which we live demands attention of this subject. I believe this with all of my heart. There is a longing for authenticity in our society. I'm telling you, even the godless are looking for that which is real. And can we present that as the church? Do they look at our experience of faith and find something that has substance to it? Or do they see something that has the same kind of dead power of every other religion apart from Christianity? Do they sense a radiance? I told you that in the Christian life, there should be this confidence that we expect that the room is going to change when we show up, not because of our own arrogance, but because of the powerful God that is within us. One little match can change the presence of a dark room. The question I have for us is our Christianity authentic enough to have that kind of impact? Before our mouth is opened, does our light so shine that we make a difference in a place like that? We are surrounded by a vast amount of religion. That's why the world is looking for that which is authentic. Young people in school, these kids are looking for authenticity of Christianity. They're looking for somebody who's really going to live it out. And it's not just a religious jargon that comes from their mouth. It's a powerful experience of their lives. So let's put ourselves to the test this morning, okay? Let's put ourselves to the test. Let's test our faith. And the first thing I want to show you is we're going to test our faith by the place it occupies in our inner man, inside of us. How does it change me? You may hear the truth, you may know the truth, you may agree with the truth, and yet still be wrong with God. And then some would say, then what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to let the power of God work within you. It's not just a religious concept or an idea. What about that place it occupies within your inner man? It's not enough that it's on your lips. You can sit in the sanctuary and say, amen, 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 amen. You can agree with everything that I'm telling you. You can say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then you walk out of this church and your life is no different than the rest of the world. That is not authentic faith. It's not real. The one that I'm preaching about and teaching about and trying to live is transforming from the inside out. It doesn't just clean up the external of the human experience. It doesn't just make you act better in the surroundings that you're in. It doesn't make you just act better. It makes your presence better. The essence of who you are is transformed. It's not enough that it's just in your feelings. I'm okay with feelings. They can be a gift. They are not intended to be controlling. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Your feelings control your life. That is not what God intended. He intended that we would be controlled by the Spirit and then enjoy the benefits of feelings. But we can get feelings going here in church. You can respond emotionally to an altar call and find yourself weeping on the carpet up here. And how many of you have done that? How many of you have been so grieved by your own sin and you've cried crocodile tears and you've used up a pile of Kleenex right up here, and then on Monday you find yourself being the same person you were? I'm simply telling you that what you experienced was an experience of feelings, not transformation of the Spirit of God. There is a difference, and it is real, and it is true, and it does change lives. There are testimonies throughout this place of those who have truly been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I see your hands for a minute? All right, you know what I'm talking about. Your religion, if it's authentic and given by the Holy Spirit, must be inside of you. It must hold the reins of your life. It is that controlling agent of who you are. There is no road rage. Anybody guilty? You see, again, it's not just about restraining external actions. That's not enough for the believer. You might be able to restrain yourself in your Christianity because you got the fish on the back of the car. That's not the question. The question is, are you different on the inside? That's the difference. It sways my affections. The affections I have for the things of this world and this life, it keeps everything that I long for in balance. It must lead the will, the will, the will, the will. Oh, God, help me in that. It must direct the tastes. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You ever heard that? How many of you ever tasted the Lord? The sweetness of His presence. Has it been a while? Has it been a while since you have used your spiritual senses to enjoy the goodness of the Lord, to smell His goodness, to taste His goodness, to see and to hear and to touch all that He is? It must influence your choices and your decisions. How many of you really ask the Lord for His input on all that you do within your lives before you make a decision? Sue and I have made a practice of that over our married life. You know, when we find our hearts filled with desire, did you know that your list of wants will never be satisfied? Did you know that? Young people, trust me when I tell you. We all have our list of wants, don't we? Want, and as soon as we get two of them off the checklist, we've added seven on the bottom of the list. It's never satisfied, but there's one that we can walk with that gives us a balance in our choices and our decisions that we make. And it's simply a practice that I've had in my Christian walk, which is I just simply look up to heaven and say, Lord, is it okay with you? I realize that sometimes we can take this out of context and you can stand there and say, Lord, should I wear the green suit or the blue suit today? And I'm going to wait there until I hear an angel come from heaven and tell me. There are some things that the Lord says, son, just make a decision, okay? It must fill the deepest, lowest, and most inmost seat of your soul. That's what His presence wants to do. And I'm simply asking you this morning, is this your religion? Is this really what your Christianity looks like? Is this your faith? Is this your faith? If not, you have reason already to question the authenticity of your faith. If it has not moved or changed you from the inside. I'm saying right now, stop yourself, shake yourself, and say you need to get out of this religious bondage and find yourself in a sweet place with the presence of the Lord. It's real. Do you believe me that it's real? Do you remember the experience of Simon who tried to buy the Holy Spirit's presence? If you've never read that story, you will find it in Acts chapter 8, verse 21. Tried to buy the experience of the Holy Spirit. That's often the case of those who are found within churches today. It's like we come to church on Sunday just to appease Him enough to keep Him off our backs so that we can moderately live the way we want to live on planet Earth. What a tragedy that would be for us to live out a Christian experience like that. The Holy Spirit is free. He's not to be bought or bargained with at all. He's to be accepted as a living, walking person in our own experience and in our own lives. The Bible tells us, for it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, Romans 10:10. It happens in here. It happens in here. You know, to some degree, it doesn't matter what my wife's perception is or my children's perception or my church's perception. The question that needs to happen in this preacher's life is, hey, am I right before God? Am I authentic in my faith and Christianity from the inside out? That's the issue I have to deal with. The second thing I challenge you with, to be tested in your own faith, is try your faith by the feeling towards sin that it produces. This is like the big deal in today's church. We don't want to deal with the issue of sin. We don't want to talk about it anymore because it's one of those heavy subjects that nobody wants to address. I want to address the issue in my life because if I can identify the things that are wrong, it will help me to live. You see, because I want to hear, I want to walk in obedience, and I want to truly live in Christ. I am searching just like you are to find that joy that brings that presence where the word says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I want that to be the radiance of my countenance in the transformation of my life. But see, the politically correct place in our society is we don't identify ourselves as sinners. From all the way through politics, you will hear this time and time again, I made a mistake. How many times have you heard that from our politicians? They stand up in quote-unquote repentance before a people and say, I want to let you know that I made a mistake. The only reason they're confessing that is because they got caught. And sometimes the only reason we confess as people of God is because we got caught. Maybe it was in an argument that we had with someone and we got caught. The true condition of our heart was seen in that situation. Maybe it was in an issue of road rage that I described earlier. And the true condition of your heart was seen because you got caught. You got caught. It came out. Instead of you doing it the other way, which is search me, O God. Look me over. It's not just a blemish or some misfortune in your life, which, by the way, if you stay in that kind of a thinking, it just becomes an object of pity and compassion. That's often what Christianity is looking for today, Christians. We're looking for that commiseration experience. We're looking for somebody to feel sorry for our shortcomings. Instead of standing before a holy God and saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, I am undone. Oh God, I am unholy before you. Oh God, I see this in my life that is not right. You told me, Lord, that from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, and I cannot believe what's coming from my mouth. What has happened within me? Where does this come from, Lord? Help me, help me, help me, Holy Spirit, to walk in a life that is pure and holy before you. Help me, God. Show me in your word. Show me in your word where I can hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Teach me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord, that I can walk in obedience to you and find myself truly living, truly living. Is that the passion of your life? But see, we look for pity and we look for compassion from others. The question is, do you stand right before the Lord? It will see. This beautiful presence of the Lord will help you to see the thing in sin that God hates. The thing that makes us guilty or lost in the Father's sight. That's what we're looking for. Search me, God. Tell me if I'm missing the mark in my relationship with you. Help me to see that. You see, I've never wanted to be a mediator between you and God. I've never put myself in that position. You know, I say this all the time. I just want to push you to Christ. That's all I want to do. I cannot help you with this subject. I will probably either judge you too severely or not severely enough. If I become your judge for a day, I will either let you off the hook or I will destroy you with my words. The Holy Spirit will not do that. But He will slice and dice you like a surgeon. He will open up your heart and He will pull out these things that you never knew were in there. But most people are not willing to go there because we are so insecure as to who we are in Christ that we're not willing to find ourselves standing naked before a holy God. We're so insecure. Some of you can't even laugh at yourselves because you're so insecure. And if you think that somebody else is talking about you, it destroys your day. Get over your bad self. I was going to say, you're not that important. People are not really talking about you. They're probably talking about the Lions. Or how terrible Michigan is. Talk about overrated. Overrated underachievers. Let's move on to truth, all right? You say, you need to pray about that, Pastor Dan. That's a wickedness in your heart right now. The Spirit did not speak that. You did. It will look at sin as the cause of my sorrow and my unhappiness. How many of you find yourself discouraged and despondent? I'm telling you, it's not the Lord's fault. If you find yourself sorrowful and you find your heart filled with unhappiness and the joy is not there, it is not the Lord that has done that to you. It is sin that causes us to miss the mark of His presence. And I'm saying, take off your religious clothes. Get off those old ragged garments and find yourself just open before the Lord. He will lift you up in due time, but let Him strip you down to nothing. Let Him grind you down to powder if He has to. You say, why would I let Him do that? Because He's a beautiful creator, that's why. When a man's eye is amiss, God can pick up dirt out of the soil and spit on it. Why would we see that as odd? He took dirt from the ground, formed it into a human body, breathed on it, and it became life. Why couldn't He just spit on some dirt and reform a human eye? What do you think He wants to do to your soul and your spirit? He wants to make you right in His eyes. I will see the curse, and the curse that has brought such a tragedy to God's creation, including myself. You know, there's so many stories and so many sermons that are talking about, and Jesus wept when He was at the tomb of Lazarus, and He spoke to Lazarus, come out. The Bible, you know, often we talk about the shortest verse of the Bible, and Jesus wept. Okay. You know, there's a lot of sermons that go along with that, but many I've even heard say, well, He was sad because Lazarus had died, and He was going to raise him from the dead. That was such a non-issue. Lazarus was coming back out. Maybe he cried because he knew he was going to draw his son from the kingdom back into this wretched world. Maybe he was crying for Lazarus. But I think the reason that the tears of the Lord come is because He sees what sin has done to His creation. He looks about humanity and He sees what we were supposed to be. He can look into the eyes of every person and He can see what we were supposed to be when we were formed in the mind of God before we were formed in our mother's womb. He looks into your soul. He looks into your heart. He looks into your life. He looks into your will. And He says, does it match with who I created you to be? You see, and what sin does is it bends us. It bends us. It distorts us away from that. If there's anything in my life that Christ should cry about, it would be the tragedy of what sin has done to His creation. Me. How many of you really know who you were created to be? Or has sin so distorted who you are? See, that's where the insecurities come. That's where we find ourselves so caught up in the foolishness of this world when we do not know who we are. But test your faith by the feelings towards sin that it produces. It will see in sin the very thing that will ruin us eternally. Unless we find the ransom in Christ, the one who has come to set the captive free. I said it earlier, but the scripture, against you and you alone have I sinned. I violated your creation. I violated who you wanted me to be, Lord. Sometimes I know, every day, sometimes I wake up and I know that I'm not fulfilling your calling in my life. I want to be right before you. Show me, Lord, those things that bring that hindrance on Monday morning, on Tuesday morning. Show me, Lord, the things that I can correct. But see, you have to hear. You have to be willing to hear him speak because he is speaking. His voice is echoing into your soul. Will you listen to what he is telling you? But the next challenge is obedience, isn't it? If he says to you, my daughter, my son, this is a defilement before me. If he tells you that, then you have to be willing to find yourself in a place of repentance before him. Is this how you feel about sin? If not, you should examine the authenticity of your faith and your religion and stop right now and find yourself readjusting yourself and going after the Lord. Here's the last thing. The last thing is test your faith by the feelings towards Christ that it produces. How do you really feel about Jesus Christ? Is he just another subject that is on your long list of things that you enjoy? Or is he your consuming fire? Nominal religion believes in the existence of Christ. Did you know that? And may even show a level of respect towards him in all of his ordinances, even church attendance. And we show ourselves to a place of respect towards that which we classify as holy. But then our lives go no further than that. We seem to hit this spiritual wall that we cannot seem to get past. See, faith that is authentic, faith that is real, faith that finds itself changing me from the inside out and identifying with the sin that is within me. Faith that produces an awareness of the presence of Jesus Christ. And faith that opens up a longing and his desire for me to hear his word and to sense his presence. That level of faith will cause me to glory in Christ. It's an act of grace. It's not just a choice of the will. It's an empowerment of the life and Christianity. Excuse me. Authentic faith will make you glory in Christ. Here's some of the things that it will produce in you. It will produce a confidence in the Lord that is absolutely unstoppable. What do I mean by that? It doesn't matter what your current circumstances are. You gain such a confidence in what Jesus Christ can do in all of your situations. It doesn't matter whether your life is in the worst storm you have ever been in. It doesn't matter whether it looks like your job is about to be over. It doesn't matter because it's in him that you hold the confidence. It doesn't matter whether you're discouraged about the economic climate of American culture. It doesn't matter because your confidence is not in the systems of man, but your confidence is in the ability for him to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. That's why people are tithers, because they surrender themselves to a holy God in confidence. The ones who will not tithe and give are the ones who do not show confidence in God at all. They say, I can do this myself. I don't need your help. There is a love towards the Lord that stirs from within. It's an identity of who He is that opens up in our minds and our hearts. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came as an exact representation of the Father. There should never be any confusion in the church as to what God looks like. He has been revealed to us. And the more you see that revelation, the more that you love Him. The more you have a passion for Him. Question. Have we become so familiar with Christ that we have stopped pursuing Him? And I want to talk to some of you that have known the Lord for 30, 40 years. I know that we hear the terminology, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, I don't know how that fits in this whole reality. I'm just talking from the perspective of us thinking that we know Christ. And so we think that we've gained this idea and this access to Him, and all of a sudden we lose that fire within our own souls. The best example that I can give most of you, many of you, is in the marital relationship. Men, your wives want to be pursued. Is there any amen out there? Huh? But many of you have become so familiar with who you think they are that there's no more seize and conquer. Let me tell you, Sue and I are just new at this. We've only been married 29 years. This woman is a mystery to me. And the men said, and she would say, what are you talking about? I'm a pretty simple person in terms of how to understand me. Just do the right thing, man. I have told you and told you and told you what the right thing is. You just won't do it. But I'm saying that there's this beautiful mystery about a woman, in my opinion. And the reason I'm using this analogy is because there's a beautiful structure that the Lord has given to the church. And Paul speaks about it in the marriage. He defines the man. Paul said, when a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife and the two become one. But then he said that, but I'm speaking about a mystery, but I'm talking about Christ in the church. He identifies the male role as a Lord kind of role and the wife role as a church kind of role. And these two put together are absolutely magnificent if they're lived out according to the type that God has given us. The Lord is so passionately in love with His church. And He pursues us, He pursues us, He pursues us. And then the church is looking for the heart of the Lord Himself. So I asked you the question, have you, senior saint, have you become so familiar with the Lord that you have lost that passion to find Him more and more and more? I'm telling you, He's not containable. He's not containable in this head and this heart. He's just ongoing. He's like the oceans that continue to come in wave after wave after wave. And yet we have lost that desire to pursue our whole this beautiful Lord. Let me tell you what else will happen. You will have such a delight in Him. You will have such a delight that will stir within your own soul. You will have a comfort in the Lord. There would be such a calm and a peace. It, like I said, in the storms of life, a peace in your own soul. Isn't that what you're looking for? I'm asking you, have I described your faith? Is that what it looks like? Is your Christianity real? How does it occupy your inner man? I'm not talking New Age. I'm not saying your inner self, that you're looking for the spirits on high to make you feel good. I'm talking about a transformation of mind, soul, and spirit by the presence, the inworking, and the infilling of a sovereign, holy God. It is real. It is real. It is real. Young people, do not use the standards of those around you. Find a grander relationship with Christ than anyone will seem to live around you. And you will watch the glory of the Lord happen from the inside. How about the feelings towards sin that His presence produces? Simple question. Do you find yourself doing the same sin over and over and over and over again? You're not letting Him in. You're keeping it hid. You're keeping it from Him. What are your feelings towards Christ, really? What are they? Even as we came into this place and began to lift our hearts in worship, were you more distracted by your surroundings than you were distracted by His glory? Which was it? Listen, I understand the weakness of the human condition. I'm not suggesting to you that we walk around in some euphoric state all the time, like we just kind of float off the ground. Jesus Christ Himself told us that this life you will have trouble in it. But He promised us that He had overcome the world and gave us an invitation through Him to do the same. So I'm not saying that you won't have struggles. I'm not saying that you won't be challenged in your faith. I am simply telling you that, in fact, there is a real, genuine Christianity that has a power to deliver us from all the things that we are struggling with. And I'm challenging you with this idea of how much it is real in your life. And in some of your cases, if we were just to have an altar experience, and I said to some of you, I spoke this message, if your Christianity is not authentic, then just run to Christ. Run to Christ. How many of you that have sat and lived a life that is filled with heaviness will find yourself just sitting there as if your entire body and spirit and mind is paralyzed? Or how many of us will find ourselves just with a sense of exuberance, killing our pride, setting it down, and running to Christ, running to Him? You know me well enough to know, I'm not interested in just churchy experience. But I'll tell you, there were powerful moments in my Christian past. I think of those times when I sat with my fingers clenched to the back of the chair or the pew, and I think of the times when the Holy Spirit, my heart would just beat so fast because I knew that the pastor was preaching towards me. Ugh! It becomes weighty at that moment. And decisions have to be made. And I either have to respond in obedience or I'm going to deny it, and walk away being the same that I was when I showed up. There are some of you that have never surrendered yourself completely. Oh, yeah, sometimes we'll kind of half bow. Sometimes we'll get down on one knee and say, here I am. When's the last time you got yourself right smack on your face and said, God, turn me to powder and then create me new again? Turn me back in the power of your redemptive work. Turn me back into that which you had intended for me to be in the first place before I was formed in my mother's womb. Will you hear? Will you hear? Do you hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Can you hear what the Spirit is saying to your life? Can you hear Him this morning? Will you walk in obedience? Will you walk in obedience? Will you respond to the altar right now? Will you respond to the move of the Spirit right now? Will you do something different than what you've done before in obedience to what He is speaking to you? When I tell my sons to come here, I expect immediate movement. Is that usually what happens? What is the Spirit speaking? Are you negotiating with Him right now? Are you trying to convince Him that you are not really that bad? That's what the world is going to do. Do you want to be different tomorrow? Christian, do you want to be different tomorrow? Then you have to walk in obedience. And I promise you this, if you want to live, if you want to see the joy of the Lord just revisit your soul, then you find yourself abandoned to Him for real and for good. Authentic faith. I want to live that out. You know why? Because, first of all, because I want to live out the reality of who I'm supposed to be in Christ. But I'll tell you, this world, this society, this people need to see the authenticity of Christ in us. How many of you work in a secular environment? Raise your hand. Get it up. A secular environment. Okay. You are that light. You are that missionary. You are that called one. You are that one that goes in with the anticipation that you're going to change the presence of the room just because you showed up in Christ Jesus. It's not just positive thinking. This is about the reality of a holy God living and transforming us from the inside out. Most of you know the system and that we have. There is kind of an informal dismissal that'll happen, and after this first song, you're just welcome to leave as you feel the Holy Spirit releasing you. And I want to just say, be blessed and live out the Lord to the fullness of your heart and get that desire back. Senior saints, those of you, how many of you have known the Lord for 20 years or more? Okay, I'm saying to you guys, let's raise the standard. Let's serve the Lord like we just met Him for the first time yesterday. Are you hearing me? Do you remember what it was like when you first saw Him for the first time? Do you remember how your hearts were so filled with just delight and love and passion, and you couldn't think of anything else but Him? Senior saints, will you walk this out with me? Will you find yourself in the secret place and find that freshness of the wind of the Spirit? Those who have not known the Lord for a long time, they need to see a different standard on the way that Christianity works. You willing to make that covenant with me? Let's live it out with the power of the Lord. So after our first song, you're welcome to be dismissed if you'll quietly just go out and you can fellowship in the... But there's others of you that need to find yourself just having a moment with the Lord. We have leadership that'll pray with you or pray for you. Whatever that needs to look like. But I want to challenge you, do not leave this place until your faith is authentic. That's my challenge. You see, I don't have to deal with it now. It's your issue. First of all, let me ask you, have you heard? Have you all heard? Is there anybody that didn't hear? Huh? So now your only recourse is obedience. You testified that you've heard the word of the Lord today. And I tell you, you walk in obedience and you will live, you will live, you will live.